Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
And from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 9, 10, and 11. As the Father has loved me, our Lord Jesus says, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The word of the Lord. When most of us think of famous hymn writers, we probably think of people such as Charles Wesley, Isaac Watts, Fanny Crosby, and John Newton. We could go on and on, but I wonder how many of you, when you think of a famous hymn writer, think of a fellow by the name of Moses. You know, Moses was the first sacred hymn writer. Bill Stahl just read from that great hymn authored by Moses. Today we're going to look at this great hymn. Now when Moses wrote this song, and that's what the Psalms are, you will know by now as we are in this series on the Psalms, that the Psalms are songs meant to be sung. And when Moses authored this song, he divided it into several components. The first part of the psalm we're going to see in just a moment, he talks about God as being eternal. The second part of the psalm or song, he talks about human beings being temporal or temporary. And then in the third part of his song, he talks about living under the wrath of God. And I like where Moses ends up. He talks about the grace of God. First things first, Moses sings about the Lord who is eternal. And you will notice here in verse 1, he says, the Lord. And he uses the word Adonai. The word there in the Hebrew, Adonai, for Lord in your Bible means master. It conveys the idea of rulership or dominion. God is our ruler. And Moses sings, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord has been our dwelling place, our protecting shelter. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. But we dwell in God. The soul is most at home in God. God is our dwelling place. And my friend, you are most at home, not in this world, but in the Lord God. And Moses sings about that. And then in verse 2, he talks about before the mountains were born. Now that's going way back in time. I learned something this past week. You know the Blue Ridge Mountains are considered to be the oldest mountains on the earth? I didn't know that. Scientists tell us that they're over a billion years old. That's really old. But long before the mountains were, all before the Andes and the Himalayas and the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Rockies, the Urals, before any of these mountains came to be, there was God. God is the Ancient of Days, or in the language of Albert Einstein, who had kind of a strange view of God, he called God the Old One, the Old One. God has always existed, and Moses is singing that truth. He's reminding God's people that God has always been. When I was a little boy, and I started having first thoughts about God, I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that God has always existed. There never was a time when God did not exist. And I tried to understand that. I couldn't figure it out. And I finally made peace with it. It's beyond my little mind to understand. God is God. He's always existed. There never was a time when he was not. And Moses sings about the eternality, the eternal nature of God. He was here long before the Blue Ridge Mountains. He'll be here long after. So that's where Moses starts his song. And then he moves into the section beginning in verse 3, going through verse 6, talking about we are temporary. God's eternal, we're not. We're temporary. Now man is a newcomer on the scene, and Moses reminds us in verses 3 to 6. Look at verse 3. Moses sings, God turns man back to dust. Now very interesting, the Hebrew word for dust comes from a word meaning to crush or pulverize. Yikes. The idea here is that God, who brought us into the world, removes us from the world. God turns us back to dust. If you've ever been to graveside service and a Presbyterian minister performed that service, more often than not, you heard these words, unto the mercy of Almighty God, we commend the soul of our brother departed. And we commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice what Moses says, what he sings. God turns us back to dust, back to the ground. For he brings us into the world, and listen, God determines when you'll leave this world. Now, I'm not going to get into a teaching here this morning on how that works in a world of evil and free will and all of that, but understand this, God is sovereign. You just didn't decide to pop into the world on your own. You came into the world at God's appointed time, and God has an appointed time when you will leave this world. And notice in verse 4, Moses reminds us that in God's sight, 1,000 years are like a day that has just gone by, or a watch in the night. Now for the ancients, a watch in the night was 4 hours. And Moses reminds us and sings to us that in God's sight, all these lengthy years are as nothing. Verse 5, Moses sings about God sweeping people away. That is because God is sovereign. God determines once again the length of our days. His servant David said long ago, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Have you ever thought about that? God brought you into this world for a purpose, not by accident. And God has an appointed day when you'll leave this world. Me too. God sweeps people away. For in verse 6, we are told that we're like grass. Grass comes up and then it fades and it withers. Somebody has said, stout and strong today, tomorrow turn to clay. This day in your bloom, tomorrow in your tomb. That's pretty pessimistic. Well, that's where Moses is going in our psalm. He's reminding God's people that life is short and God is around forever. By the way, I want to ask you, well, let me just share a little story with you. As we're talking about God being eternal and we're being temporary, you hear about the husband who bought his wife a new line of cosmetics. And they're very expensive, and they were guaranteed, according to the manufacturer, to make a woman look years younger. So after she applied this miracle product, she asked her husband the dangerous question, honey, how do I look? And be honest. And this prince of a man said, oh, darling, judging from your skin, you look like a 20-year-old. Judging from your eyes, you look like you're 21 again. And your hair looks like you're 18 years old. And your figure, wow, like you're 22. And the wife said, oh, thank you, honey. And her eyes are gleaming and her smile is beaming. And then the husband said, wait a minute. I haven't added those years up yet. Life is short. Well, Moses has sung about God being eternal and we being temporary. And then he moves into this discussion or this part of the song in verse 7. He talks about we live under the wrath or anger, the righteous anger of God. Now, God is love, yes. But that does not mean God never gets angry. In Psalm 7, verse 11, God says he feels indignation every day. Some Bible translations say God expresses his anger daily. God has a righteous anger. How could God look at this world and not be angry? How could God look at my life at times and some of the stupid things I do and not be righteously angry? Now, what angers God? In the Old Testament, we see that God was angry with the nation of Israel and with Israel's kings every time they turned away from the Lord. Every time they turned away and to turn to idols, God said he was angry at his covenant people. In the New Testament, Jesus got angry with the religious teachers and the leaders of his day for using religion for their own gain and for keeping people in spiritual bondage. God is love, absolutely. He is love. But God also has a righteous anger. In Romans 11:22, we are told by the Apostle Paul, consider the kindness and the severity of God. He is kind and he can be stern. But when he is angry, it's always righteous. It's always a perfect anger. Well, what else do we learn in Psalm 90? In the same breath that Moses mentions the anger of God against sin, he says in verse 12, teach us to number our days aright, as some Bible versions say. Teach us to number our days, and we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, let us live right, wisely, and well. Life is short. So let's make it count, is what Moses is singing about. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said, Christians, you have no time to trifle. We have no time to trifle. What would you do if you found out today that you had an incurable disease and you had 24 hours left to live? How would you live your life? What would you do differently? What would you say if you had but 24 hours left to live? Life is short. And Moses said we should be teachable. Lord, teach us. Teach us. Teach me. My friend, are you teachable? Are you willing to be taught by God in his word? Do you receive or reject what God has to say? I love what Bill Stahl said a moment ago, what our pastor Sonny always says when he's about to read God's word. He says, listen to what God says. And that's right. God has spoken. God continues to speak. For you know, not only is God eternal, this book says it is eternal. This is the eternal word of God. It will endure forever. When all other words have fallen to the ground, the word of God endures forever, just as God endures. So let us be taught by God and his word. And notice Moses says, we need to be taught to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What is a heart of wisdom? It's not your physical heart. It's your spiritual heart. Your heart is what makes you tick. It's your mental and moral and spiritual nature. It's who you are inside. And Moses sings about gaining a heart of wisdom, not worldly wisdom. There's a difference. Let me give you an example. This is worldly wisdom. John and Dave are out hiking. They spot a mountain lion staring at them. John freezes in his tracks, but Dave sits down on a rock. He takes off his hiking boots, and he puts on his running shoes. You know what's coming. What are you doing? Shouted John. You can't outrun a mountain lion. And Dave calmly responded, says, I don't have to outrun the lion. I only have to outrun you. That is worldly wisdom. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But godly wisdom is even finer and better. And you know where to find godly wisdom? Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 gives the answer. It says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know what true wisdom is? You look at Jesus. You go to Jesus. And you have his mind. For the Bible says, as Christian people, we have the mind of Christ. So open the treasure chest. Go there for wisdom. Go to the Lord and his word. And let's make it our aim to understand the brevity of our lives and to be wise in the Lord. So where's Moses taking us in this song? He begins by focusing on God and his eternal nature. He then talks about us and how temporary our lives are. Then he talks about our lives lived under the wrath of God. But I love where Moses ends up. He speaks about this God of grace, this God of the covenant. Notice where he goes. He talks about God returning to his people and satisfying them with his steadfast love so that they may rejoice and be glad. I love that. How many of us here want more joy and more gladness in our lives? Did you notice what Jesus said in our gospel reading? In John 15, he talked about his joy being in his people and it being full or complete. Wow. Full joy. Complete joy. We need the joy of the Lord, especially when life hurts. There's hurt all around us. We live in a hurting world. And Moses asks God to make his people glad in the midst of their affliction. And here's something we need to recognize. God can be found in our afflictions. In fact, one of the purposes our afflictions serve in life, if you're going through a difficult time, you understand this as a child of God. Afflictions have a place in our lives to mature us, to grow us. You say, Pastor, where does it say that in the Bible? Listen to King David. In Psalm 119, verse 71, David of old said this, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your ways." Now that is a mature believer. God, thank you for my afflictions. Now, they're not pleasant. I'd rather not have them. But thank you for them, because in the midst of my affliction, I'm learning to trust you. I'm learning your ways even better. I love the words of the artist, contemporary Christian artist. She's no longer contemporary. She's getting up in years. But Twyla Paris, who is a favorite, still is of mine. She has a wonderful song called, "I Thank You for the Thorn." She was thanking God not only for the rose and its beauty, but God, I thank you for the thorn as well. When you can get to that point in your life when you can say, Lord, I thank you for the beauty of my life, but I also thank you for the thorns in my life. You've come a long way. God is up to something in those thorns. God is up to something in your hardship. None of us like it, but there is purpose in it. Jesus was called a man of sorrows. And those of us who follow in his footsteps can expect sorrow and hardship and hurt. And part of the cost of the cross, following in the Master's footsteps, is that we can expect some difficulties. So don't miss what God's doing in your season of affliction, as Moses sings about. And then notice he concludes his song by saying, "Let the favor of the Lord be upon us." I like that. And of course, in Christ, the favor of the Lord is upon us. We are favored. I love what one lady here in the church said as I was speaking to her before service. She said she's highly blessed and greatly favored. And I love that. That's true. We are greatly blessed, highly favored, or highly favored and greatly blessed, however you want to say it. We are in Christ, all of this and more. All right, so what do we do with this great song of Moses, the first sacred hymn writer? First of all, let me encourage you today to live your life with eternity in mind. Our lives are short, so let's live wisely and well. And remember what Moses said about numbering our days aright and getting a heart of wisdom. We're but a breath away from the other side. Live in light of eternity. Secondly, could I say this? Let sentimental theology give way to biblical theology. Now, what's that all about? Many times we embrace views about God that are not informed by what the Bible says. Our views about God are informed by our wishful thinking, our sentiments, or by Hollywood. I remember years ago in Birmingham, Alabama, driving by a church. I won't say what kind of a church, but there was a big sign out front that said, "God is not upset with you for any reason." I thought, what a curious sign to put out front in front of the church building. God is not upset with you for any reason. That's sentimental theology. The Bible says that God expresses his indignation every day, that God is upset and angry with sin and with sinners. Yes, he loves us. Here's another example of sentimental theology. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. You ever heard that? Where does that come from? That great movie. That's not biblical teaching at all. Angels don't get their wings every time a bell rings. That's Hollywood. We need to bring our sentimental theology under the lordship of Christ and let it give way to biblical teaching. Recognize that sin does anger God. It really does. And that God does send afflictions. He really does. But there's purpose in them. And God is at work in the midst of them. Third, learn from your afflictions in life. There is purpose in them. Make God your dwelling place, for your soul is most at home in God. And recognize the God who loves you, who has taken care of the wrath that you deserve and I deserve at the cross, where Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for sinners. The wrath of God was upon Jesus. He's taken the wrath we deserved. God is for you in Christ, not against you. And so let's remember that even in our afflictions, God's not against us, but he is up to something. In the words of the popular book, don't waste your sorrows. See what God is up to in your hardships and hurts. I thank the Lord for Moses of old. He had many talents and gifts and abilities. And to that list you can add great hymn writer, for he was the first author of our sacred hymns. And he has much to teach us in this song, which is called A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. May we learn from God's word. May we take it to heart. May we be doers of the word and recognize that our home is in the eternal God. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Amen. And thank you for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the words that we have heard today from your servant Moses, from our Lord and Savior also Jesus in John 15. Thank you for the reminder that you are eternal, that we are not. But Lord, we will experience eternal life in Christ. Thank you for the reminder that you are a righteous and holy God, and you do get angry. Thank you also that the favor of the Lord is upon your people, that in Jesus Christ we are greatly blessed and highly favored. For all of this and more, Lord, thank you. May we live wisely and well for your glory and honor. In the precious name of Christ Jesus, and let God's people say, amen.
There's no way to measure. crucified, laid behind a stone. You live, you die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.